I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Europa League winners Atletico Madrid, and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, returning to make his standard weekly appearance, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, where we are distracted by a fantasy Premier League draft, but not entirely. We have just enough of an attention span to talk about Atletico's 1-0 win over Cagliari in their friendly match on Wednesday. We'll talk about the standout performers from that game, including Gelson Martins, Tomas Lemar, Victor Mollejo, and others. Plus, it's the end of the transfer window in England, which has far-reaching ramifications for the rest of the continent. We'll discuss the newly completed Luciano Vietto transfer. He has gone to Fulham on loan with an option to buy. Hashtag Viva Vietto. We'll also analyze the completed deals for Santiago Arias and Nikola Kalinic, and how they fit in to this Atletico squad. Finally, goalkeeping. Jan Oblak reportedly close to a renewal. Thibaut Courtois taking over between the sticks at Real Madrid. Does that make him a traitor? Before we dive on into this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, a couple housekeeping items. If you're a regular listener, you'll know what these are. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcasting platform, Apple Podcasts in particular. Leave a rating and review there. Helps us out, gets more eyes and ears on the show. You can also become a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo at patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. From as little as $3 a month, $3 a month, you can get access to the weekly bonus pods. There is no bonus pod this week, but we'll have a lot of content coming your way next week as Atletico get ready for the UEFA Super Cup in Estonia. Patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this. Trusting you to keep an eye on the chat.
I will. I can do that.
Yeah, you just let me know when it's my
you
pick.
Have, I believe you have two coming up next, so.
Oh, goody.
Because I know that you are such a Premier League fan, so.
I enjoy the Premier League. It's a nice distraction.
Yes, exactly.
It's enjoyable.
You have no rooting interest. That's make it nice.
Yeah, not really. Also, as you know, the Braves are playing. So if you're distracted by the Braves, I won't blame you.
Well, I'm not, because they're doing the bullshittery where they broadcast it on Facebook. So I don't play that.
Oh, there you go. That's how Atletico's friendly was broadcast yesterday.
Yes, exactly. I don't do Facebook sports streams. I don't like seeing all the emojis popping up in the corner. I don't like seeing morons say things in the comments. I'm good.
You damn millennials with your emojis and your live streams. Get off my lawn. Get off Rob's lawn.
Damn millennials.
Before we start, it appears Luciano Vietto is going to Fulham.
Praise be.
And I have full confidence, Rob, that we will be right back here next year talking about him, because he'll have scored 5 goals in 30 games.
Oh, almost certainly. Almost certainly. Well, I mean, you know, who would you rather have, him or Mitrovic? I mean, I don't think that's particularly close.
Mm.
But, yeah, you know, Vieto, he'll probably be around, you know. The window closed, I guess, but I don't really know how this works.
So, I don't know what to
do. I'm trying to understand how the Premier League window is functioning now.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like the trade deadline in North American sports. Like, I guess they submitted, Fulham submitted paperwork, the Premier League's reviewing it, and one of the deals that they're still reviewing is Vieto's loan with an option to buy.
That would be really swell. I think Fulham have done some great business this year, but this is their worst.
This is their best one. Any Fulham fans listening, you're going to love this guy.
Yeah, he's great. He'll miss several sitters, perhaps.
Perhaps.
if he gets in that situation in the first place, which is not guaranteed.
Yeah, he was not at training today, as he was excused with permission of the club to settle his future. That phrase we love, negotiate his future. But yes. It looks like it's going to happen. It has not been announced as of yet, but it looks like it's going to happen. Vieto to Fulham. So we'll see how that move goes for him. I think it could be good. He gets out of Spain. It just wasn't working for him in Spain.
Yeah, he definitely could use a change of scenery, I think.
And pressure's going to really be off him, too. As you know, Sevilla and Valencia, they're big clubs. Honestly, I think this could be okay for him.
Well, we wish him the best as long as Fulham do exercise the buy clause.
You're right. Only on one condition, that you do buy him at the end.
Yes, exactly. If they don't, then no God.
Let's talk a little bit about the friendly yesterday. Which,
yes,
again,
there was indeed a friendly.
It was only broadcast on Facebook. And not even Atletico's Facebook. It was on Cagliari's Facebook.
Which is just amazing.
The only places you could watch it on TV in the world were Spain and Portugal.
I also just don't really understand why that was the friendly that Atletico decided to have after all of the sort of high-profile ones. They're like, oh, let's play this terrible Serie A team.
I mean, you know Cholo loves Italy.
Well, he does, but you'd think they play, you know, one of his former teams or something. You figure they could have, you know, lined something up there with Lazio or Inter.
Yeah,
but no,
Inter are next. But that was...
Still have to play? Oh, God, we do.
Yeah.
How is it still going?
Yeah, I know. The International Champions Cup. The magic never ends.
Yeah, the magic of the Champions Cup. Yeah. Right. It's a great tournament. Great tournament.
Much prestige. Very tournament. Wow.
Yes, indeed. And then Super Cup.
But no, Cagliari and Atletico yesterday, you're never going to guess the full-time scoreline, Rob.
Did it happen to be 1-0?
It was 1-0.
Oh, wow. Never could have seen that one coming.
Uno Sadismo never takes a break, Rob, even in preseason.
Yes, and even when you field a squad mostly made up of kids.
Well, there were more first teamers, if I can say the words, in the squad yesterday. Oblak, Juanfran, Godin, Jimenez, and Felipe were the back five. Koke, Saul, Lemar, and Correa formed the midfield, and Borja Garces, the academy kid, along with Gelson Martins, were the top two. Gelson as a forward is something Simeone tried against Stuttgart, and he tried it again yesterday. I don't think he's going to do it much during the season because, you know, Griezmann and Costa and that kind of thing. But it is interesting that he kind of sees Gelson playing in a more advanced role like that.
Yeah, it's an interesting experiment, I think. I think it's certainly worthwhile trying. I don't know how often it'll happen, if ever, really. But I think he's definitely more useful on the wing, but it's definitely worth a go.
Yeah, if he can latch on to long balls, oh, look out, because Gelson is super fast.
Yeah, and he's a talented player, so I don't think it would be too ridiculously difficult for him to adapt to that. Maybe sort of alongside Correa in like a B-team situation, given the fact it sort of seems as if Gamero and Vieto are going to go. Obviously, Kalinic came in, but, you know, just sort of keep the striking options going.
Yeah, it's interesting because we've talked a little bit about it before. We're going to talk about it more over the next week, but just how tactically flexible this Atletico team can be now.
That's right.
With a player like Gelson, with Tomas Lemar in as well, as we'll talk a little bit about. I don't see Gelson playing as a forward very often, but he could play. He's probably going to play most often as a winger, perhaps as like that fourth or maybe even fifth forward. If you want to have a team where Correa and Gelson both play, and you just want pace, you just want 35-40% possession and just long balls going all over the place, and you just want pace to burn and no one to really hold up play, you decide you don't need someone to hold up play, this could be, though, that's a situation where Simeone could try this, like, in the real season.
Well, and I think that could be viable against a team like maybe Levante or a team that has quite a slow or maybe older back line. I think that could absolutely spread teams open because in the past when you play teams that bunker against Atletico, which frequently happens, or did last season for sure, then that could help unlock some defenses across the league, particularly of sort of lower table teams.
And these are now, there are players now who can unlock those bunker defenses. Simeone was talking after the match yesterday about Lemar and how he sees him more through the middle rather than on the wing. What do you think of that?
I think that's interesting. I've certainly heard that before said about him prior to him coming to Atletico, that he was potentially like a number 10 or a more central player in the future. I think he'll certainly play on the wing. If I had to bet, I'd say he gets more minutes on the wing. But I think it's, again, worth an experiment. I mean, like you said, this team has ridiculous tactical flexibility, so I think everything's worth a try. And given the vast majority of the games we've seen in the past couple of years have been 4-4-2, it'll be a nice change.
My concern with Lamata playing through the middle is that he could kind of occupy the same space that Griezmann occupies.
Right. I would think that if he was going to play in the middle, Griezmann wouldn't be playing in that game. Maybe not, but...
Or he would play on the wing, and you could have something where Lamata is playing behind a front three.
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly rather have Griezmann centrally than Lamar, but...
Yeah,
it's
interesting that Simeone sees it that way.
Yeah.
But watching Lamar play, it's clear that he's, like, uber-talented. His velocity on the ball, his ability to just kind of cut through defenders with really kind of simple but really rapid moves. He did that a couple times yesterday. It was very nice to see. Atletico don't really have a player like that. Like, Correa is supposed to be that player, but he sometimes can't get out of his own way, as we know.
Right, and I think it'll be quite valuable to have a more advanced, creative player. Obviously, Coca and Sal are capable of that, but they tend to play further back. So having a player that can play in between that midfield and the strikers will be quite helpful, I think.
Yeah, the last two guys who kind of stood out to me yesterday watching this friendly, Borja Garces, who scored the goal from it was a really nice piece of play between Gelson and Felipe. Gelson had the initial shot. It was saved, but ball kind of leaked out, and Borja was right there to tap in the rebound. He's had a very good preseason. And
well, I'm sold on him. That's my guy in the academy.
That's your guy now?
I've decided. That's my guy now.
Yeah, Moyejo is my guy. But
good. I think they're both quality. I was first impressed with Garces when he scored that goal against Nigeria, yeah, which I still love winner. That goal so much.
That was a great goal, and Cholo was like so happy when he scored it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, and Moyejo is also great. I think he's really quite fun to watch play.
Yeah, I had my eye on him in particular yesterday. A bit individualistic still, but he's 17. That's not surprising. But he stands out because he's really quite technically good. He's quality. His touch is very good. He can play on either wing. He has kind of that ability to create a decent opportunity for a shot or a pass out of very little. Neither of these guys really have a lot of opportunities to play this year because of the investment in the first team squad, but there's going to be a place for them if they keep their progression up. There could be a place for them next year.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, last season you and I were a little bit disappointed by the lack of youth players that were involved last season. But I think a couple of them now are starting to impress more than perhaps some of the guys did last season. I know we were sort of expecting Sergi to maybe get a look in, but when he did play, he wasn't excellent. So we'll see. We'll see if these young guys can make an impression. I mean, certainly if they prove that they're good enough, then Cholo will give them a shot. We've seen that in the past with Koke and Saul and all these other guys that have come through. So, yeah, looking forward to it. I think we have some good guys coming through in addition to the quite good signings we've made this summer.
Now, speaking of Sergi, he is out of contract. He is now an unattached player.
Yeah, it was sort of became apparent that Cholo wasn't very sold on him.
Yeah, despite some nice performances when he played in the Copa, he debuted in the Europa League last year. Yeah, Olabe has been playing at kind of that third left back role in preseason. It's tough for Sergi because I did like what he offered, but at 22 years old, 23 years old rather, and still playing in the B team, you kind of have to wonder how much of a future
he has.
Just seems
like it was never going to happen for him. I think last season was really the last shot for him. I think you're right. Given his age, he'll definitely, I think, still have a career somewhere, maybe just at a lower club.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for him. But I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like, where's Sergi? We haven't seen him yet. Oh, he's a free agent. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to look that up too. It's a bit of a shame, but these things happen with young players.
Yeah. What is the meaning of preseason, Rob? Why do we talk about it?
Making money, fitness. I think those are the two main things. I think fitness really is the main thing, and sort of tinkering around with the squad, maybe. But I don't really know how much that helps.
I think
nowadays it's a money-making exercise.
This is kind of why we haven't talked a whole lot about it, because there's just, well, what is there really to talk about? I mean, a lot of the first team just came back. I mean, yesterday's back line, Wednesday's back line was a first team back line. And that's why Atletico kept the clean sheet. It's tough to draw too many conclusions when the team isn't really there. They're mentally, but physically they're not there, whether in Italy or in Madrid.
Well, and I think read too much into preseason at your own risk, I don't know really what conclusions you can draw from preseason because, as you say, many of the Atletico players were at the World Cup, so the first team squad in its entirety hasn't been back until the last week or so. So we don't really know what the ideal first team would be still. So I think we'll have a better idea after the Supercopa and then – or the Super Cup, rather – and then the first game of the season, we'll really start to be able to take things away from games.
I think probably even after the Inter game, we can start talking about that.
Maybe.
Because that's back in Madrid.
You know, you still don't want to get too much mileage on these guys who have just come back from the World Cup, especially the French lads.
Right. And they just came back to training this week, Griezmann and Lucas, both in Madrid, or rather just outside Madrid, training. So, yeah. Wednesday was Atletico's first 90-minute preseason win. It was 1-0. It should have been 2-0, though, as Moyejo had a header go off the post with about 5 minutes to go. It would have added a little bit of polish to the scoreline, but you take a win any way you can get it, especially in preseason when it doesn't really matter.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, Atletico won't be winning the extremely prestigious International Champions Cup this year.
Who even is going to win that International Champions Cup? Is there even a cup? Is there even a trophy? I don't know. I don't think I've ever even seen
International Champions Cup standings. Tottenham are currently leading.
That's how you know it's preseason.
Yes, their one and only trophy is very prestigious. No, but they're tied on points with Borussia Dortmund. I don't really know how any of this works.
I just want to know if there's like a trophy. Okay, apparently you can win the International Champions Cup.
Despite not everyone playing each other and penalty shootout wins giving you an extra point. I don't know what
to do with my hands.
There is a trophy. I don't even know what to describe the shape as. It's like the less than and greater than signs if you put the two butts
together. I think I see it now. Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. That's weird.
It's a thing.
The more you know. Let's move on. Let's talk about some transfers.
There have been a few.
And not just for Atletico. We didn't talk about Santiago Arias. Before I went on vacation. That was an interesting one. We haven't watched much of him, only when PSV have played Atletico in the Champions League. But from what I've read and what I've seen, Arias debuted on Wednesday in Italy. It seems like he's not quite the Simeone profile. He's not great defensively from what I have read, but very, very good going forward. Very proactive, very attacking fullback. Could maybe be the wingback that Simeone could turn to a little bit more this season. What did you think of it?
It seemed like kind of this was a sort of cheap and very doable move.
It was cheap, 11 million according to Transfermarkt.
And given sort of Rusalko leaving, which we knew was going to happen, I guess they just identified that this was the guy they were going to go for. I don't mind it. Granted, I have watched literally none of him. Even when we have played PSG in the Champions League, I wasn't really paying attention to their right back much, frankly. He's an international for Colombia. I think it'll be interesting to see how he does. Like you say, he's better going forward than he is defensively, so perhaps that will provide a little bit of balance as compared to Renfren, who at this point really shouldn't be going forward because he may not be able to run all the way back. I guess depending on the game, Simeone can switch up which right back he uses.
Yeah, he was the Eredivisie Player of the Year last year, so he's doing something right.
Yes.
26 years old, He's played at two World Cups with Colombia. He is pretty well regarded from what I've seen. We'll see how he adjusts to Spain. This very much was a club-initiated move. Simeone had wanted to keep Jaime Rusalko, but the club wanted to get rid of him, particularly after his excellent World Cup. They brought in Arias on a relatively cheap deal. Don't really see a whole lot wrong with this.
Yeah, I mean, he's 26 years old. He's basically in the prime of his career. I don't think this is a long-term move by any means. I still think that Atletico are going to need to address the fullback situation. But the thing to me is, it just kind of makes the Johnny situation seem even stranger.
Yeah, no, that was strange when it happened. Because
he's younger, has experience in La Liga, was cheaper, and yet he was still loaned out.
You still have Juan Fran in the team. Johnny does come back next year, and that creates a pretty interesting battle between next year between Arias and Johnny, assuming Johnny doesn't move to left back.
Right. Or Wolves don't buy him, or some sort of George Mendes bullshittery like with what happened with Hota.
Because, the Johnny thing was very strange. It's still kind of strange, but... No, Simeone still definitely believes in Juan Fran as the backup. And at left back, not really much you can do either, with Lucas probably still going to play there most of this season, if not all this season. And Felipe is Lucas's backup.
Yeah, so, I think it could certainly be worse. I'm glad they've addressed it in some way and not just left it as Juan Fran's going to be the starter.
Or Tomas is going to be the starter.
Yeah, well, that would be even worse, yeah.
Yeah, gee, boss.
I mean, Tomas could do a job, but he would be much more useful in midfield.
Right.
Also, brief pause. It is your time. It is your double pick time.
Oh, terrific.
We will be right back.
Okay. That was a fun diversion. We're done now.
Yes. End the hold music.
Nikola Kalinic.
He's here. He's arrived.
Oh, by the way, Fulham just confirmed hashtag Viva Vieto.
Oh, God.
Oh, jeez.
These announcements.
I have to watch the video. Hold on.
Ooh.
He's wearing a Robin mask.
Oh, no, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Oh, my word.
Yes, he is. He's taking off the mask.
This is awful.
He's taking off the mask. Flashing those pearly whites.
It's very slow motion. Is this like iPhone slow motion, or is he just doing it very slowly?
I think it's iPhone slow motion.
He still looks 12. Him and Oliver Torres still look like they're children.
The way he took off that mask, though. Oof. It's already worth it in my eyes.
Oh, look at him. He's pointing at the middle of the shirt in that picture and not even at the badge. Can't even get that on target.
Yeah, very much like what he's like on the field.
Yes, indeed. Come on, Vieto, get your shooting boots on, son.
Nikola Kalinic, Rob.
Yes, he's arrived. He's with his back perhaps working.
Yes, he is a player that Atletico have now signed from Milan on a permanent transfer, less than 15 million euros. And DiMarzio said earlier this week that Atletico are going to pay that fee in four different installments.
Wow, that's a lot of installments.
Oh. I think it's three or four different installments that they're paying a fee of under 15 million to Milan for Kalinic.
I think for quite a low amount of money, I don't really think they could go wrong. I mean, clearly this is not a long-term signing.
Right.
Kalinic is not a starter.
Right. People have been so negative about this, and I really want to address that because people have just been overwhelmingly against anything to do with Nikola Kalinic. He was bad last year, but Milan as a team, as a unit, were bad last year. This is a guy who has experience in Serie A, had two very good seasons at Fiorentina, helped get Dini Pro to the Europa League final a few years back. He fits the profile that Simeone wanted. He can play with his back to goal. He's a guy who takes one or two touches and it's in the back of the net. He can win the ball in the air. He can attack space. This is the guy Simeone wanted from the beginning of the transfer window. That's what DiMarzio said. This is the guy he wanted at the beginning of the window, and nothing really changed that. Not even him getting kicked off the World Cup squad changed that. If he can get his head on straight, if he can... Yeah, imagine Kalinic refusing to enter a game with Mauro Borgo staring at him.
Right, exactly.
Right, and he's not going to... Yeah, he's not going to refuse to enter a game if Borgo and Simeone want him to enter a game. That's just going to be the end of that. The worst that happens is Kalinic is trash, or he gets hurt, or he has attitude problems. He doesn't play. And Atletico move him on next year, probably for a similar fee than they're paying Milan right now. The best case scenario is that he actually is a quality backup and he boosts his value, and Atletico might want to keep him.
I don't understand the negative reaction to it either. He's a poor man's Costa, which is basically what you want if you're having a like-for-like striker backup, so...
Right, in the past we were complaining about, oh, Atletico have too many similar strikers. You know, Griezmann, Guerrero, and Correa are all so similar. Where's the variety? You know, Costa's the only striker of his type in the team. Yeah, well, now Atletico have two of him, basically. So you cannot complain about...
Costa will be injured at some stage, probably, or suspended or something. So. Probably,
most certainly.
You know, it's necessary to have these kinds of backups.
Right, you can't complain about both. You can't complain about Atletico having too many strikers of one particular type, while also complaining that Kalinic is terrible. You can't have both ways. It can't be both ways.
Yeah, and I don't think he's terrible. He didn't have a good season last year, but nobody on AC Milan was good last year.
Yeah.
So, I'm not mad at it. I don't get why people are mad at it. But, you know, people will find a thing to be upset about.
And it concludes Atletico's transfer business. They're not going to do anything else. Other than the Gamero sale to Valencia, which is still going to get done, even though Atletico and Valencia are haggling over 1 million euros, because of course they are.
Very La Liga transfer things going on there.
But other than Gamero's sale, the Vieto loan is done now. I really think the Gamero sale is the only thing they have left. Maybe a couple loan moves from a couple Canteranos, but most of them are going to stick with the B team or with the juvenile team. This looks like a really good squad. They have four forwards now, assuming Correa plays most of the season up top. Correa as a like-for-like backup to Griezmann. Kalinic as a kind of like-for-like backup to Costa. Lots of depth on the wings. I would have liked to see them add another central midfielder, but that area of the park is going to be super competitive with, you know, Rodri, Saul, Koke, and Tomas. And of course, you still have the excellent back line with some options there, as Lucas can play at center back or at left back. You have Santiago Arias coming in to challenge Juan Fran instead of Rusalico. And of course, Oblak staying.
Yes, which is very good. He hasn't signed a new contract yet.
We're desperate
for that to happen.
We will get to that in a second. There was a report on it yesterday from SER.
Yes, so hopefully that happens soon. But, you know... I think it'll be, I hope it'll happen. I think sort of with the recent goalkeeper Barry Garand we've seen happen, PSG got Buffon, whatever you think of that move. Real Madrid got, what's his name? And Chelsea got Kepa, and Liverpool got Alisson. So I don't think any other team in the too near future is going to be wanting a goalkeeper. Maybe PSG, but we'll see on that one.
Yeah, particularly if Oblak does renew. Speaking of that, SER had a report yesterday. The negotiations for Oblak's renewal have advanced. They're still not that close, but we have some figures. We have figures, Rob. We have numbers.
All right, lay them down to me.
It's a proposed renewal to 2023, a 250 million euro release clause.
That's quite good.
Yeah, it would force anyone to sit down and negotiate with Atletico if they wanted Oblak.
Which would be ideal. Because Atletico, I mean, we've seen with the money that's being paid for keepers, clearly that has gone out the window
in terms of
keepers not being expensive anymore.
Yeah, with Chelsea panicking and buying Kepa and paying his full release clause, which Atletico never meant for anyone to pay. With Chelsea panicking, that now shows that really in the next year someone will pay Oblak's clause if it doesn't get raised again.
Oh, so absolutely. It would be a deal.
Yeah,
I mean, all the keepers have moved this summer. Oblak is the best.
Right.
And I know people will argue about that, but it is just a fact.
Yeah, objectively.
Objectively, it's a fact. I'm just telling you.
But yeah, he's kind of the other great signing of this window is Oblak, because he didn't leave.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a solid backup there, too. So I don't really think there's really too many complaints could be had about Atletico's business this summer. My only concern is about... what's the financial situation? Because this is a lot more money than I ever thought Atletico would spend this summer.
Yeah, Atletico's transfer outlay, $123.5 million per...
That's a lot of money.
Per our good friend Jack Grimsey of Copa 90. Their net spend, though, is negative 94.5 million euros. Yikes.
That's a lot. I think this is very clearly a we're going all in this year.
Oh, no question.
Type of summer. So I don't have a problem with that. Next year's going to be a lot of fun, but I think next summer may be less fun. Next summer may be the time where we see a real major outgoing.
If we dare to look ahead to next summer,
yes.
There are going to be a few sales next summer. I think
yes.
There's going to be a few departures. Not thinking too deep about it, but Juan Fran's going to leave. He's in the last year of his contract. The rest of the Rosalco money will come in from Inter because they'll take up that option, quote-unquote, option to buy.
Yeah, option obligation.
There will be – I think there's going to be a big sale next summer. I don't know who it'll be.
I agree.
But money's going to have to come in next summer because, yeah, Atletico probably aren't going to make much more than about 45 or 50 million this summer, and they've spent over 120 million.
And I think that there's a very reasonable argument that could be made that Atletico sell one player next summer and they could make up to close to 100 million, if not 100 million, depending on which player leaves. So, you know, selling one of their very talented players would not be the worst thing in the world because they get a lot of money for it.
Yeah, it just really depends on how next season goes.
That's right.
And how,
and
if, how it plays
if,
out.
If they win the title, then, you know, that's okay.
I've just now seen the Vieto picture. He's not even close to the badge.
You see what I'm saying?
I've just now seen it, yeah.
He's off target.
there's a new one.
Yes, indeed.
Thibaut Courtois, Rob.
Ah!
He is back in Madrid, but playing for the other team. He signed yesterday.
Because he really wanted to see his baby.
Yeah. He signed for Real Madrid on a 6-year contract, transfer fee of nearly 40 million euros. Your thoughts?
It's not really entirely surprising. I think a lot of people could have seen this coming. It's quite disappointing because Courtois was quite a memorable piece of those very early in the title-winning side, obviously, but even before that, not the Europa League. Was it Europa League?
Yep. He was on the first Europa League team, or the second one in 2012.
Yeah, the Simeone one. So, it's a shame, certainly. The other part of it is he was technically never owned by Atletico. He was only ever on loan. I don't know, it's disappointing. You hate to see that happen. I think, you know, modern football, you can't really be too disappointed with these things. That's just kind of what the way things go.
Is he a traitor?
I think so, but I mean, I'm not like, you know, gonna Luis Figo him or whatever, but, you know, I certainly think he'll get quite definitely whistled, but I would certainly hope that Atletico supporters don't throw things at him like Madrid supporters did when he was in the Atletico.
Right, that was in a Copa del Rey final, and someone threw a bottle at him, right? It was a bottle or a flare at him at the end of extra time, and he just collapsed to the pitch in agony.
It was some kind of missile.
Yeah, he keep in mind he's going to that club now. Those are going to be his supporters, so.
Yes, and the man also did a Jack Wilshere after winning the anti-Madrid song, so, you know,
yes,
slightly awkward.
A very anti-Madrid song with some podcast inappropriate language.
Yeah, we'll sub that out, but it's a thing. It's a thing that happened. I mean, like I say, it's disappointing. I'm not, like, steaming about it.
I think, for me, it's a big shrug of the shoulders.
Mm.
Like, Atletico have Oblak, and Oblak's better than Courtois. Heck, I think even Keylor Navas is better than Courtois.
Keylor is probably the most pissed in this situation.
God, what a guy. Like, people are praising Keylor for, like, saying, oh, I'd rather, you know, I have as much desire to leave as I do to die. I'm like, are you serious, dude?
Why don't you want to leave?
You've won the Champions League 3 years in a row, and they just replaced you because you weren't marketable enough.
Mm.
I would leave.
Mm. Dear.
But yeah, this is just a big shoulder shrug for me. I mean, mm-hmm. Courtois was the keeper, and he was a very good keeper as well. still is, when Atletico won La Liga, won the Copa, won Europa League during that spell from 2012 to 2014. Should have won the Champions League as well. But Courtois was the keeper, and it's unfortunate Atletico could not keep him. There was no way Atletico could keep him because Chelsea were just waiting for Petr Cech to get old.
Yeah.
But this time around, there wasn't a vacancy available. The only vacancy available, if Courtois wanted to go back to Madrid, was at the Bernabeu.
Which, you know, I mean, planes clearly do not go from London to Madrid.
Right.
So that makes it really difficult for him to see his family.
Yeah, very, very tough. Basis. Very tough. It's an arduous flight of at least, yes. Czech notes, 2 hours.
Yes. So, that was basically the only destination if Oblak left. I mean, we talked about it a little bit. His contract was running down, and I think if Chelsea had sort of played hardball with Madrid a little bit further and didn't allow him to leave, then maybe he would have signed. There could have been a possible debate for him to sign next year if Oblak left or whatever, but that's over now. He'll play for Real Madrid, and Kaylor can be pissy on the bench. And then when Courtois has bad form and gets whistled, then Kaylor will be back in the team.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, not only that, how badly did Chelsea handle this, though?
Oh, God.
Remember the hard line they took on Costa last year? Threatening to banish him to the reserves unless Atletico paid up? They just bent over for Courtois.
I think part of it was that he had 1 year remaining on his contract. I think that sort of put them in a bad position.
Yeah, even then, I would have taken the harder stance of you're going to rot. Right. We'll sign Kepa because we're Chelsea and we're richer than God. You can rot in the reserves. We don't care.
There's some weird shit going on at Chelsea, though. It sort of seems like,
and not only that, they're
kind of pulling back his money a wee bit.
And not only that, they took Kovacic on loan. They don't even have an option for Kovacic. They're just going to develop him for Madrid.
That was bizarre.
So he can be Modric's replacement. Yeah,
that was just
genius from
bizarre.
Chelsea.
So
really good.
I think Chelsea, they got Kepa, who I think is okay. I mean, he's still quite young for a goalkeeper, and I think it remains to be seen how good he actually is.
I mean, personally, I think that's a great signing. He's going to have a couple howlers early on as he gets used to things. If he doesn't let that bother him, then he'll turn out to be a wonderful signing for them. It's a lot of money, but he's 23. It's worth
it. Well, the reality was his clause was, what, half of what they paid for him just 6 months ago?
Yeah.
Until he extended with Athletic, so that's a thing.
It was a really weird situation with a lot of moving parts. But Chelsea just did not take that hard line that they took with Costa last year, which I thought was really funny and kind of karmic in a way. But as it pertains to Courtois, I mean, you know, I hope he's happy. I mean, I'm not going to get... No one should, you know, be angry at him because he wants to see his family more. I mean, yes, London to Madrid is not a very arduous trek, but it's not being in the same place.
Yes, and that's fine, sure.
No, and that's family. You know, you don't mess with family. So I get it. And if Oblak had left this summer, it probably would have been a different story. He probably would have come back to Atletico if Oblak had left. But Atletico already have Oblak. Oblak is the best goalkeeper on the continent. And I would not really have it any other way.
Yeah. It's not close. I mean, I would absolutely prefer to have Oblak.
Yeah, it's whatever. Some people are gonna threaten to forget Courtois, but no, you're not. And Courtois was the goalkeeper when Atletico won La Liga.
Right. And it's hard to forget the passion he showed for Atletico when he played for us, which just kind of makes it all the more funny that he plays for Real Madrid to me.
Yeah.
So, it is what it is.
And on that note, I think that'll do it.
All right.
No bonus pod today, but we will be back with one next week. We have a lot of stuff coming out next week, Rob. Big week. Super Cup week. Season starts the week after. Oh, it's exciting.
Yes, we're at long last done with preseason. The transfer window is nearly closed, so we don't have to read rumors anymore. And now we get to enjoy this wonderful season, which is approaching.
That's Rob Walker. You can follow him on the Twitters at rwalk03. You can follow me, your host, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at jbbarron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this program, Colt Gennaro Chat, on your favorite podcasting platform, including but not limited to Apple Podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. Also, subscribe to the Patreon page, patreon.com/ColtGeneroChat. Become a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo from as little as $3 a month. You'll get access to the bonus pods and more. We'll be back next week. Until then, adios.